Got it. Are we online, everybody? Are we okay? All good? Yeah? Oh, that's amazing. Well, bless you all this morning for joining us, and for those that are going to listen down the line a little bit, we know many people tune in later on, so they hear the cast online, which works well. And we really appreciate the fact that we have an opportunity in God, and we're thankful to Him for the ability to stay in contact at least to some degree, and continue sharing the Word and continue encouraging one another. We know it's still difficult times, but the good thing about it is we have a God that's beyond all the realms of difficulty that this world throws at us. Amen? And that's what we need to put our faith, trust, and hope in Him, so that His life is more paramount and more important in our hearts than anything this world is throwing at us. It's trying to have the opposite effect. We're going to go into a time of communion in a moment. There was a song I was listening to yesterday. It's not a new one, but it's not even a well-known one. One of the girls that was with Darlene at Hillsong, Miriam Webster, put out an album some time ago, and one of the songs on it is just entitled Peace. And boy, if we ever need peace at this time, this song is so encouraging. Seek His peace and seek His love, His grace, and His Holy Spirit, and know that God has made all of His attributes of the, of this nature available to us, and His nature available to us. So we'll pray quickly, and then I'll put this song on before we go into communion. Father, we thank You once again for an awesome time together, sharing around Your Word and just sharing around the table of communion, the covenant meal that was made available through the cross unto us. We praise You for that opportunity today, and we thank You, Lord God, for every person listening in, for every person who hears this broadcast. We ask, Lord God, for the empowerment and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit to impart life, peace, and joy and love into every listener in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that are suffering, Winnika has expressed a need in her life and her body. Father, we rebuke these migraines in the name of Jesus. Winnika, we set you free from the effect of these migraines and from their ongoing attack. And we minister and impart the life of God into you right now, so that you will no longer be a sufferer of any migraine or attacked by them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for any others listening in that need a touch from you, that today will be their day of receiving at your hand. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, while this song is on, spend this time as a prayer, in a prayer or in an attitude of worship, seeking God for all that this song ministers to you. We don't have the words, but the song is quite clear. So, see you in a few moments with communion. Get your communion prepared and ready while it's on.
Receive the peace of God throughout the day. Let it reign within my heart. The love of God, I receive the love of God. Power to change. Soften up the hardest heart. What a merciful Savior I serve.
So beautiful. I love the way she gives so many accolades to God and then says, my heart will respond. My heart will respond. That's important, amen? And seek his face and seek the Lord. And I think that's so wonderful. You know, when I spoke last week of the place prepared for us and suggested there's an amazing difference in that message, bringing that place of response to us around the throne of grace. Jesus made a place available to us, and he couldn't have done it without the shed blood. It couldn't have happened without Calvary. We couldn't have access to the throne of grace without what Christ doing what he did at Calvary. So amazing. And you know, I think of back in Genesis chapter 4, where Cain slew his brother Abel, and God came and said, where's your brother? He says, oh, I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. He said, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me. And I take that back through to where in Hebrews, Jesus went up into the heavenly sanctuary with his own blood and cleansed all the vessels around the throne of grace. And to me, the voice of his blood cries out to the Father constantly on our behalf. Amen? And so there's a perpetual reminder there for the Father. The work done at Calvary. The best thing about it, though, because that way was paved through the blood of the Lord Jesus, that gave us that position in heavenly places in him to have access to the throne of grace, to live and dwell in the presence of God eternally. And so it's not something in the future that we're going to do. It's we're doing it now. We're dwelling in his presence. Amen? We're seated in heavenly places. Our lives stem from that position that we have in him. And we walk from there, hearing his voice, knowing his heart, knowing our God, having an intimate relationship with him. And there's no better intimate relationship than remembering the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he took bread and he said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Wow. That was done on our behalf. I think it's just so amazing. And he said also, this cup seals the new covenant. It is the new covenant in my blood. Don't just look at the covenant and say, oh, that's good. I've been born again. I'm saved. It goes far, far deeper than that in giving us the most amazing relationship with our eternal Father. And that covenant of life avails for us today because that blood cries out in the very throne room of heaven on our behalf. So we thank you today, Lord Jesus, for your broken body, your shed blood, and the life of this covenant availing us access to the most amazing and the highest office in this universe at the very throne of grace, the throne room of heaven. So we thank you for it. We receive it today by faith as we partake of this amazing commemorative intimate meal with you, Lord God. We thank you so much for the access we have and the place made available to us through the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. Let's take that together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord. We thank you today for all you've done, for all that you are, and for all that you've made us to be in you. We thank you for the ongoing work in our lives, that you're changing us from glory to glory to glory as you're revealing more and more of yourself and you're opening your word to us, challenging our lives and challenging our hearts. And we thank you so much for that. And Lord, today, just as Miriam sang in that song, my heart will respond. I pray for every person hearing this broadcast that today, Lord, their heart will respond to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you to take time now to hear the word of God. And thank Rake for coming and sharing what God's put on his heart. And we're so excited to be able to share this time together and have him with us around the word. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Yeah, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different to what we normally would do. Can everybody hear me okay? Give me a wave if you can. Good, good, good. So, it's different and it's amazing. And it actually, I was watching a YouTube video last night, which actually, it spoke quite deeply to me. And I think it's very relevant to what we're going through at the moment and what's happening in the world. And in particular, for us as Christians, what's happening in the church. And it's that scripture back in Mark 2, Mark chapter 2, verse 22, where Jesus was saying, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And I'm telling you, God is busy changing wineskins right now. God is busy changing the church's wineskins so that the church, us as the body of Christ, can receive the new wine is about to pour in for this end time harvest. I really believe that what we're seeing happening, where technology is used for so many evil things, but God is using it for the dispersing of his glory into every home, into every place, onto every train, into every kitchen, wherever, into every bedroom. He's using this, the technology and people's hearts turning to him to prepare for the new wineskins, getting us out of that mentality that I must go to a place called the church to receive from God, and changing them, say, I must enter into the presence of God in my own house to receive what God has for us. I think this has been an absolute challenge for a lot of people that's been used to going to church, and maybe some of you that are listening today, this must have been a very challenging time, because this could have potentially been the first time that you're actually forced into a place where you have to seek the Word of God daily, where we're forced as believers to not wait for a Sunday, to not wait for that event on a calendar, when we will get the Word of God, when we will receive a word of evangelism, when we will receive a word of prophecy. But we've been forced into this inner sanctuary, into the secret place with God, where we seek his face at home, in your kitchen, at your office, at your office table, wherever you work from, where you work, that you are learning habitually that I can enter into the presence of God and I can receive new wine from him. Because I'm telling you, it's been prophesied so many times that in the last days, the revival is not going to come to a church. It's going to come to believers on the streets. And what better place for God to use what is happening in the world today, what the enemy intended for evil, God is using it for good. He is preparing us, and he's bringing us under our own roofs together. He's gathering us as families. We are getting connected again as families together with each other. But again, back to foundations, back to the Word of God, where in the mornings when you get up, you spend time with God. When you sit in a meeting, when you're on that Zoom call and there's a challenging question or maybe there's a challenging email that comes through, you are teaching yourself and training yourself that I am part of a kingdom that is not from this world. And I have the answer. All I need is to ask. And instead of having to go through a whole religious ceremony that you might be used to and have grown up to do, you realize that you have free access to your Father in heaven, the King of Kings. And you can pray and He will hear. He says in His Word, when you call unto Me, I will hear you. And it was so amazing last week. The message was about the kingdom. And it actually, for me, it was confirmation, because without talking to anybody, I wasn't talking to Ken about any of this. In our house, one of the things that God has been taking us through in the last few months has been around kingdom. Messages about the kingdom. My devotions is around the kingdom. So, and I was quite challenged by it, because it's easy to learn in our minds what about stuff about a kingdom, but really, in reality, beginning to practice it is quite different. And I want to start with one of the scriptures I actually wanted to finish with. But I want to read this in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 34. Jesus is saying, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. That is amazing. That is amazing that the kingdom of God doesn't need our help. All we have to do is to bring the kingdom, and it will increase. It will expand. But the trouble is, we've been growing up with good messages. We have good intentions. We have good religious beliefs. But it's not about the kingdom. Jesus has said in Matthew 24:14, He talks about the end times to his disciples. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, we've had the gospel preached to all nations. Why hasn't the end come? Because it's been a gospel of prosperity, it's been a gospel of healing, it's been a gospel of all the fruits of the kingdom, but not of the kingdom. One of the things is, it says it will be preached in all the world as a witness. A witness is somebody or something that testifies of something that they have seen and experienced firsthand. And if it's a witness to the world, it means that the world will have to be able to witness the kingdom of God. Not because they drive past a church with a big cross on it and say, oh, there's a church there. But because of believers taking the kingdom into their workplaces, into the streets, wherever we go, that is where the kingdom has to go. Now, one of the challenges that I've had, and this I think this is potentially just an English barrier because it's not my first language, but I actually had to go and look up the word kingdom that was used in the Greek when Jesus was talking about it. And the word kingdom in Greek is actually, you can translate it with the word rule or reign. So change the word kingdom in the Bible in the New Testament to rule or reign. All of a sudden, you begin to realize all those parables that Jesus spoke. It's not about a physical place where there is a castle in the sky, and you go into the castle and there's a room somewhere, and then there's a throne and there's people there. No. It's not talking about a physical place. It's talking about the rule and the reign of the kingdom. That changes things from thinking about a place up there to right here. Jesus said, he spoke, and I'm jumping a little bit around in my message now, but he said that the kingdom is within us. He said that. He said, oh my goodness, where is it now? First of all, every gospel started with Jesus, except for one gospel. Three of the gospels starts with Jesus saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the rule and reign of God is at hand. That changes things, you know, because it's not that. See, he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus, and he said to them, you think the kingdom of God will come by observation, by you looking for something. You're looking for a throne. You're looking for a governor. You're looking for all these things. He said, but the kingdom of God is within you. It's in Luke 17, verse 20 to 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The rule and reign of God is within you. It's within us. It's within us, and the only reason we have access to it is through the blood of Jesus. Jesus sent his disciples out, and he said, And he said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go, because the rule and reign of the kingdom is within us. Now, one of the things that's interesting in the Bible, and I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this question, why was Jesus' language, and if you've never paid attention to it, read the Gospels with a new lens from now on. Every chapter in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is about the kingdom. Jesus' language was a language of the kingdom. He was either telling a parable about the kingdom, but he was showing us physically, he was demonstrating it through his healings and his words and his messages. He was giving us a picture of the kingdom, what to expect, or he was telling us about the kingdom, what it will look like, so that we can recognize the kingdom. But when we recognize the kingdom, it means we will also recognize the fake, the deception that will come, that he speaks about. So Jesus used terms and definitions that his people could understand. Now, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever asked yourself the question, why did Jesus come historically in the time that he came? And that's an interesting question. I don't know if you've ever asked, why did God not send Jesus, you know, three generations after Adam? Why did he wait so long? Because the Roman Empire under Tiberius, who was the king of the Roman Empire at that stage, was the very first empire in history that did not conquer a country, taken slaves, and brought it back to him. He was the first governor, he was the first ruler that when they conquered a nation, they would actually create a colony of that nation. They will appoint governors in that nation. And what will happen is, now this is a whole other message, they will actually then teach the people of that nation the language of the motherland. They will teach them the principles, the how things are done in the motherland. For example, in Australia, we don't have very good examples of kingdom anymore. But for example, in Australia, you will say, come over to my house for tea. Now, if you say that in South Africa, we literally think you want to come over to my house to drink a cup of tea. But here, the Governor General is responsible for ensuring that the language and the habits and the rituals that are implemented in Australia, not so much today but historically, will be that of the motherland, of England. So in England, they spoke about tea, and tea is like supper, early supper. So that is just one example. Now, if Australia were to declare independence, our Governor General would be without a job, and in fact, they would be illegal in our country. Now, just a little snippet here. When Adam and Eve sinned, they declared independence from heaven, and the Holy Spirit had to leave. The Governor General had to leave. it wasn't till the kingdom of in the world was at such a place like what God has had in his heart that he could send Jesus and say, now my son, go and tell them about the kingdom, because when you talk about the kingdom, they will understand. They will understand things like the currency of trade, colonies, governors, the culture. Go and take the kingdom there, because they will understand. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like, they understood it in the concept of the times which they were living in, where they never even saw the king. They never saw King Tiberius, but they saw the governors. They saw Pontius Pilate. They saw all those people that were there executing the judgment and bringing in the laws of the other country. Now, when you think of us like that, we're living in these times. We have that mandate from the kingdom to be the kingdom's ambassadors wherever we are. We're not ambassadors of earth. That's why Paul said we're sojourners here. Our mandate is to bring the kingdom principles into this world through Jesus. Now, that is a whole nother message. I really don't want to get into that right now. But what I want to bring you is what is the definition of a kingdom? When we talk about a kingdom, then firstly, we are talking about a king or a ruler. If there is a king, then there must be a kingdom subjects or rulees. A kingdom has a specific realm, a domain over which the king rules. And with all the above, then there has to be regulations or guidelines to govern that kingdom. The relationship between the king and its subjects has to be governed. This is necessary for the citizens of that kingdom to know that they are doing what their ruler or their king wants them to do. That is the purpose of a kingdom. And you would always hear it talks about the scribes. There's a king always had a scribe next to him. Whatever the king decreed, the scribe wrote down and it became law. Our king spoke. It was written down for us. And here we are. We know how we govern. So God's kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, include all the elements we just spoke about. He is the absolute supreme ruler of his domain, which includes all creation. Now, even if it doesn't look like God is in control from our human perspective, trust me, God is in control. Even in these times where it looks like there's so much uncertainty, I'm telling you now that God is in control. He is running all things. Now, the safest place, if you're a citizen of a kingdom, is to be in that kingdom. Because when the enemy attacks a citizen of the kingdom, they don't attack the citizen, they attack the kingdom. And guess who is going to rescue you? Guess who's going to come to your defense? The king and his armies. So why do we need to be so connected to the kingdom in these times where there's so much attack? So that the kingdom can protect us, so that the kingdom can provide for us. One of the best ways in those times to tell how successful a kingdom was to look at the wealth and how affluent the subjects of that king was. That's how you tell how wealthy a kingdom was and how well protected they were. You looked at the subjects, because the kingdom provides for the subjects. I don't know if you realize, back then in those days in the kingdom, the citizens did not own anything. The kingdom owned everything. So the king would, for example, say, Ken, you've been good at your land, but hey, you move on, you go look at that those sheep over there. One of my friends are coming in, he's going to look over the land and he's going to sow. It didn't belong to you. And why are we so attached to what we have? It's not ours. It's not my money. It is not my job. It is not my land. It belongs to the king. It belongs to King Jesus. And if we change our mindset from being attached to these little things we have to say, God, it is all yours, then it doesn't matter to you when God says, I want you to give that money to that person, because it's his money anyway. And if you hold on to that stuff, guess what? you're not going to see that money again. God's going to give it to someone else who's going to be that open channel to give to someone else. I'm using money as an example here, but I think it's a very good example because it is near and dear to our hearts. I always say, show me your bank statement and I'll tell you where your heart is. Jesus said, wherever a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? One of the things that we can use as a litmus test for us about our citizenship in the kingdom, and a litmus test is really a scientific test to test whether something is acidic or alkaline. It's a basic test. It is, if you cram God in somewhere in your day, or perhaps don't even have time for God in your day, you can know that God is not first in your life. And it is time to make a decision. I'm going to say that again because it is so important for us. And I'm talking about new wineskins here today in the kingdom. God is busy changing wineskins. And the decision is not forced upon you. We are offered the decision. We have freedom in Christ to choose to respond, how we will respond. I'm challenging you. If God is not first in your day, in your life, then you have a problem. Then it means that He is not first at all. If you have anything in your life where you say, well, here is where I spend time with God, but you've got commitments either side of that, which dictates how much time you spend with God, then I'm telling you today that God is not first in your life. I know it's a hard word, but I'm challenging all of you. Change your day. Have your priorities right. We always have enough time for what we prioritize in our lives. We always have enough time for that. If your priority is, and I'm going to use some way out examples, is to make money through the stock market or through property investments or through your workplace, I'm telling you right now, you will prioritize that and everything else in your life, even your family we've seen, gets shifted. Like sometimes you'll have a meeting or there might be a stock trade that happens after 6 at night. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to get up from the dinner table, you're going to walk out because you prioritize that. I'm asking you, do you have that same priority for God in your life? Do you have that same priority for God in your life? And if you don't have that, if you can look at your life today and you say, I don't prioritize God. This is not a message of judgment. This is a message of hope. I'm telling you, it's not too late. Make that decision. Prioritize God. Repent. Repent. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is not for people who do not prioritize Him. It's not for citizens that sometimes cross the border into the kingdom of God and then they're out while it's nice and comfortable. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells. When you're in the kingdom of God, you dwell in the kingdom of God. You've got to change your garments. You've got to change your language. You've got to change everything in your life. And the Holy Spirit, the Governor General of Heaven, comes into our hearts and He teaches us the ways of heaven. That's why we no longer have the Ten Commandments written on stone tablets or the 300 other commandments next to it written on stone tablets here in buildings that we can look at and say, oh, I must not murder, I must not that. No, 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 no. God has established whatever He has, the rules and reins, what He like heaven to be on earth. He sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts and His Holy Spirit is now guiding us. That's why we don't need it written down. We just need that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't cuss at you, Ken, not because you're a pastor or because you're older than me. I don't cuss at you because the Holy Spirit inside of me have already convicted me not to do that a long time ago, because it doesn't happen in heaven. Now let's flip that around. We talk about the witnessing of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. we need to start talking about healings. We need to start talking about deliverances. We need to start talking about setting people free on the streets, in homes, wherever you are. That is the rule and reign of heaven. Jesus very clearly, very, very clearly in the Bible said, after he cast out demons, he said, the kingdom of heaven has come. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no bondage. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no sickness. There is no lack. There is the kingdom of heaven looks after your needs. Therefore, with full authority, when you pray for anybody that is sick, you do not even have to doubt in your mind, maybe this is the will of God to teach this person a lesson. Rubbish, nonsense. Have you ever thought that God allows, whether he allows sickness or bondages, a little bit of demonic oppression here for you, Darren, I want to teach you a lesson, a little bit of satanic oppression here for you, and a little bit of constriction there, and all, you know, a little bit of lack there, because no. That is not in heaven. That is not our God. That is not our God. If that is what heaven is like, why are we in such a rush to get there? We want to go to heaven because it is the perfect place, yet we have the opportunity to begin to demonstrate that perfect place here on earth right now. See, one of the other things that we need to be careful of, and Jesus said, remember, the Word of God says that we have one mediator between man and God, Christ Jesus. And Jesus said in his Word, he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father and the angels in heaven. So we are not shy in Australia to declare our citizenship for this nation. And we should not be shy to declare our citizenship of our King in heaven. So that he will not deny us, so that we have that free access, so that Jesus can intercede for us. Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 says, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you will be saved. Unfortunately, the Christian church has dumbed that scripture down to a prayer you pray once on a Sunday, put your hand up, and then you're saved. That is not what the Bible says. My Bible doesn't say you pray a prayer to get into the kingdom of heaven. My Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your heart you believe unto righteousness, but with your mouth you confess unto salvation. When we fully commit our lives to Jesus, his kingdom, we will experience the power of his kingdom in our lives, and we will overcome life's challenges. Jesus said that we will face trouble here on earth. He didn't promise an easy way, but he said that we will overcome, that he will be with us. He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Fear not this crazy rule and power, false authority on earth. I've overcome that. Now you have the power and the authority from the kingdom when you go out. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. In fact, it means that you will be attacked. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to lay hands on your fridge and say, our Father who are in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But your faith is in God, and God will provide. His kingdom will provide. He sent crows, unclean birds in the Old Testament, to feed his servant Elijah next to the river. How much more in the New Testament will he look after us? How much more will he look after us today who are filled with his Holy Spirit, who are citizens of his kingdom? Stay in the kingdom of God. Commit yourself to the kingdom of God so that God can protect you. Now, I've got so much more here about discipleship, but I don't want to speak much longer on this because I think this is probably enough. But I want you to pay attention, especially start in the book of Matthew chapter 12. Read Matthew chapter 12 and chapter 13. And you will see in the short span there, there are about 8 parables where Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That ever-increasing power of the kingdom. And I'm just reminded now in Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel had that vision about the statue, and he said that the last, that there came a rock which was carved out of mountain, not by the hands of man, and it destroyed all the other kingdoms. And he talked about that is the last kingdom. And that's the kingdom that we need to bring. That is the kingdom that we need to bring here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. Matthew 18, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Matthew 20, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Matthew 22, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Mark 4:26, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that scatters seed in the ground. We're sitting here today, and Ken, you love that scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and we can see that. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I want to leave us with that scripture, that no matter how dark it gets, in this world, the darker it gets, the brighter we will shine for God, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon us. I just want to close in prayer. Father, thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that you have given us. An opportunity to repent, an opportunity to do stock take, and an opportunity to make things right and say, Lord, no longer will we live for self or for our own little things that we want in this world and our own little safe harbors of protection. But Lord, we choose to live for you. We want to live for your kingdom. We want to be disciples of your kingdom. We want to be those who has the glory of God risen upon them so that the world may see. Lord, we want to be those who Jesus said, and the people will see you and glorify your Father in heaven. God, it talks about in John that we will be known by our love for each other. It says that love, hope, and faith, those are the only ones that will remain. All the other gifts of prophecy and miracles will all fall away, but faith, hope, and love, that will remain. And I pray, God, for faith. I pray for hope, and I pray for love in Jesus' name. I pray for every person listening here, God, that you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that we will have a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to seek out the principles of your kingdom and to live like citizens of your kingdom. God, where some of us are tethering on, what does this mean? How do I let go of these things? I feel so comfortable and so safe with this, Lord, that we will let go and let God and just realize that we are part of something that is so, so much bigger. A kingdom that spans the universe. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about our provision because the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. All the gold and the silver belongs to our God. We don't have to worry about getting sick, because our God is the healer. And Lord, I pray that your supernatural presence will become standard, normal, daily routines for us in Jesus' name. God, we thank you. Amen.
Wow. That is so incredible. And I'm totally in awe of our God, who confirms his word from several sources. And reiterates the things that he's saying to us over and over and over again. I'm going to show Rake a little bit in my laptop, actually, that I'd written more than a week ago. And the things that he's spoken of today are just so parallel with what God's laid on my heart and shared. And, you know, I'm reminded of the word where it says, when the disciples went out, the Lord was working with and confirming the word with signs following. Signs following. And what Rake is speaking of and the kingdom in action is what God wants in our hearts and in our lives. The minute we do, get ready for the signs following, because God's not going to hold back. Amen. We've had an awesome time this morning sharing and around the word. And great to have you online and those that are tuning in and listening in elsewhere. We just believe God has inspired you today. We believe he's released you today. We believe that he's imparted his life to you today in a way that is going to take your life on a totally different direction from this time forward. And I know I can't help but say, God, come on, bring it on. Because to me, it's just such an exciting time to be in. Bless you all. Have a wonderful time. If we can't see you before that physically, we'll catch up with you electronically next week and enjoy more time around the word. God bless you all.